Our Europe correspondent is Seamus Cooney in Lyon. Hi, Seamus.
Kia ora, Catherine.
Let's start on a slightly brighter note. The Eurovision always finds a way to lift spirits, and it has to some extent, given the winners this year.
Yes, and isn't it great to start on a brighter note for a change? Eurovision, yes, watched by millions of people, this very iconic search for Europe's best song. And as you say there, yeah, really lifting the spirits in Ukraine. Ukraine declared the winner there. Of course, as Russia's war against Ukraine now going past the 80-day mark, this is some respite for Ukrainians. I would say, you know, a welcome distraction, if you like, a cause for celebration, even if it's only for a brief time, this decisive win in Eurovision. And this actually was a massive wave of votes from the public. Officials both in Ukraine and the West saying that it's really a sign of solidarity, European solidarity, unity behind Ukrainians. It's true, Catherine, that you know, it's likely that many will have voted for Ukraine as this show of support amid the war. But, you know, it is a good song. It will have got votes as well for the music. And actually, the winning group, this is the Kalush Orchestra. Their entry was called Stefania. The group actually released today a video of that song filmed among the ruins of Irpin and Bucha as well. Of course, these towns and villages destroyed by Russia. I think you've even got a video of the song there on your 9 to Noon website there as well, Catherine, if your listeners wanted to have a listen to that. But Ukraine's president saying that he's really hoping that his country can host next year's contest, because that's the tradition. If you're the winner, then the Eurovision next year goes to you. We even had the NATO Deputy Secretary General today, actually, at a meeting in Berlin of foreign ministers, saying the win did send a message to President Putin, saying, and I'm quoting here, immense public support for Ukraine's bravery. Also, soldiers there I see quoted today talking to the media, saying that it's a good omen in the battle against Russia, heralding their ultimate victory, according to some of those soldiers. And actually, the group's lead singer, Kalush, today saying actually there's no mention of the war in the song, probably written before the conflict broke out. It seems to have been inspired by his mother, but he does say that it's become a rallying anthem for his country, and he was quoted there on YouTube where he put the song today, saying, "If the song is now the anthem of war, I would like it to become the anthem of our victory." Those his words. Of course, Russia was excluded from the contest after the launch of the invasion against Ukraine. But yes, really a lifting of spirits there for Ukrainians.
Now, this is very important, this development with these applicants for NATO. Really is historical stuff. Finland is the first, but also anticipating Sweden may apply as well, and it may happen quickly.
Yeah, and actually confirmation today from both Finland and Sweden now. So formal confirmation, their intention to join NATO, of course, in light of Russia's war against Ukraine. And as you say, absolutely historic. This is a massive shift in defence policy for both of those countries. Sweden famously neutral militarily more than two centuries. Finland, of course, more recent, that goes back to about the 1960s in terms of being neutral. Don't forget, Finland was a Grand Duchy of Russia for just over 100 years, up until about 1917, if my history lessons proved right. And of course, that Finland lost territory to Russia in a war, didn't it, back in the late 1930s, but mostly independent and neutral from about the 1960s. So the Finnish president confirming that today, actually, and this is despite warnings of unspecified consequences from the Russian president. And actually, the announcement from the Finnish president came just hours before Sweden's ruling Social Democrats, that's the ruling party there. They also held a meeting of their board. They agreed to back NATO membership, you know, so really just ripping up this notion of neutrality. A formal application in Sweden, we could see that within days. The ruling party saying that it's going to actually seek what it calls broad support in parliament. So it's going to take that to parliament on Monday. So Putin, you know, already had warned that it was going to be a mistake for Finland to join NATO. Of course, Finland and Russia, both countries share a border more than 1,200 kilometres. And, you know, we know that the announcement today from the Finnish president, that comes despite actually several phone calls between, you know, between himself and the Russian leader with Putin. So absolutely going ahead with that. It's going to be interesting to see how President Putin reacts once the applications are actually formally put in. And we know that NATO very keen to have this sped up process of membership. It could be 6 months, it could be a year, but all of the countries of NATO, those foreign ministers meeting, saying that it's very important to make sure that there are security guarantees in the interim. So if those applications are put in, there will be some talk about security guarantees. And of course, you know, that's exactly what Putin thought he could deter, isn't it? Because before attacking Ukraine, he did say that stopping NATO expansion, that was one of his top concerns. So really, you know, this really blowing back in his face, if you like, Finland and Sweden. Don't forget Denmark, just talking about some of the neighbours up there in Scandinavia, Denmark, Norway, Iceland, already NATO members, of course, Norway as well, further north, also sharing a border with Russia.
That large border, and the thing was, the Russian president had been talking about wanting to combat the eastward spread of NATO. Mm. Well, now we're in Scandinavia, we're in a different part of the map, and as you say, a very long border, looking like it would become NATO as well. And remember, there's that pivotal chapter in NATO that says attack on one is attack on all. This is the significance of it. I was interested, that's though, right, in the Turkish president saying does not favour their accession, and is there a mechanism even where it could be vetoed?
Yes, so Turkey does have a veto as a NATO member. It's a bit confusing, actually. We had a very what seemed to be very strong words from the Turkish president yesterday, saying that he would have reservations, he'd be concerned about Finland and Sweden joining. He was talking there about issues to do with terrorism and you know, just the way that security is dealt with in those two countries. But then today we had the Finnish president saying, you know, that's news to me. I'm very willing to have further talks with the Turkish president, but that seems to be a change in position. And then it seems that's been watered down today. And we now have NATO tonight actually saying that any concerns that Turkey has expressed, it wouldn't be something that would actually put a stop to these applications if they're actually submitted. It looks like they're likely to be now. And the NATO Secretary General saying that he's confident that any of the reservations, any of the concerns expressed by Turkey, they can be ironed out. So a few conflicting reports. Right. It'll be interesting to see if there's any further reaction from the Turkish president once those applications are in.
Just a couple of minutes left, Seamus, to talk about the fascinating move in Northern Ireland, Sinn Féin-led assembly now in Belfast. But how is Brexit mucking with this?
Yes, so this actually was supposed to be the moment that the Irish Nationalist Party, Sinn Féin, of course, they've dreamt of this for decades. So rising to power in Northern Ireland and their push for unification with the Republic of Ireland in the south. So the party is celebrating this historic election win recently. They won the largest number of seats up for grabs in the Northern Ireland Assembly. So Sinn Féin, and we say this is historic, they would normally now have the right to appoint a first minister for Northern Ireland. But, and this is a big but, this reignited row now over the UK's Brexit deal with the European Union. And this actually has now blocked the formation of what would have been a new Sinn Féin-led executive there in Northern Ireland. So this would be the restoration of the province's power-sharing assembly if it had gone ahead this weekend. And don't forget Stormont, that's the assembly building there in Belfast. Since 2017, power sharing has not been in action. It collapsed back in 2017. So this weekend, as the newly elected assembly members met at Stormont, We actually had an announcement from Northern Ireland's Democratic Unionist Party saying that it was going to be blocking the restoration of this power sharing. And this, they say, until the UK and the European Union resolve these ongoing concerns about the so-called Northern Ireland Protocol on UK-EU trade. So just in a nutshell, just as a reminder, because it's been a while since we've talked about Brexit, Britain demanding that the European Union agrees to changes to this deal struck by Boris Johnson to appease concerns by the unionists. So the unionists not happy that their province was in effect left inside the European Union single market and the customs union. And that was a kind of customs border in the sea between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK, something the unionists say is unacceptable. But the European Union Commission saying that, you know, that deal's not up for renegotiation. So is that going to mean tariffs, quotas imposed? What's going to happen if Britain does decide to make changes unilaterally to that deal that was struck? Sinn Féin actually slamming the DUP, saying that it's blocking the formation of this new executive, holding the public to ransom, to use their words.
Wonderful. Thanks very much, Seamus. We're going to end with just a few seconds of this winner, as we said, of the Eurovision, and a very popular winner it has been. Let's just have a few seconds of Stefania from the Kalush Orchestra of Ukraine. Речу платить, я не мала дитина, бо надалі нерви тратить, я гуляв. Шлях би тебе трафив, ти все молода, а мама на піку. Якщо не ціню опіку, на піку, слабе мені ту піку, запитайте піку, цю піку, я би попік. Video is on the webpage, an amazing video if you want to see the whole thing. Thanks very much to Seamus Kearney from Europe.